Toronto, proud to announce from Zurich, Men's League Switzerland, U.S. program, Austin Matthews.
In the penalty box, Nylander gets an extra shift. William Nylander shoots. He scores. Coach played a hunch, and the kid has his first National Hockey League goal.
All right, everybody, we are back with another episode of the TOT cast, and today is a special episode for two reasons. One, Chris O'Krantz is not here again because he's too busy trying to figure out why tomato soup is a menu option at Real Sports Bar.
Yeah, he actually got in a pretty in-depth conversation with the waitress about it.
So. I'm pretty sure he wanted just another reason to talk to the waitress, but the reason why it is a special one today is because from New Jersey, we have Jake making his in-studio debut. This is what, a year and a half in the making?
Yeah, finally.
We got a chance to go to the Jays game the night before, watch Stroman pitch a gem.
Yeah.
Get to complain about how goddamn tight seats are at the Rogers Center.
Which is an atrocity to...
Because if people have not seen Jake in person, he's pretty tall, pretty big.
He's tall enough to be my adopted father.
He could actually play hockey for the Leafs if you probably could play.
If I was like way better than I actually was, maybe.
Well, we'll get some training for you and we'll work that out. But on today's show, we are going to be looking at, so we have two parts to the show. The first part, we'll be looking at some of the rumors that have been going around, some news around the Leafs this offseason. And then the second part of the show, we'll look at the draft because we're waiting for Austin to get here from Scarborough because he had some phone problems. So we'll hopefully Austin will make it. We'll make it in time. Getting from Scarborough is not exactly easy for those who live in the city. So first news just came. How about an hour before we started recording?
Maybe less than that.
Adam Brooks signing his entry level contract. Now, obviously, entry level contracts are not huge news, but this is a pretty big one for the Leafs, especially when you look at the position Adam Brooks plays. He's a center. Leafs do not have many center prospects. Not many teams in the NHL have a lot of center prospects. So when you get a guy like this signed to his entry-level contract, it's kind of big news. But when you see a guy like Adam Brooks have the year he did in the WHL, he's now ready to make that move to the next level. Where are we going to be seeing Adam Brooks next season? I'm kind of more on the Marlies note, but are we kind of all on the same page with that one?
Yeah, I say definitely.
Yeah, pretty much universally.
Yeah, definitely will be in the Marlies. I think if you look at what the Marlies even have down the middle, I mean, Colin Greening was playing center. They have a couple ECHL players who are coming up and playing center. So I think Adam Brooks will go to camp. You know, the team will watch him there, and after then he'll go right down to the Marlies and see if he can continue his offensive pace and playing in the pros, because obviously you can look at how well he contributed in Regina. You know, he put up a lot of points. I think it was like 250 over two seasons or something like that. So that's one thing. To do it at the higher levels, another thing. So I think he'll spend a season with the Marlies, and after then the Leafs will revisit him after he has a year there.
So Jake, a prospect like Adam Brooks, he went overlooked in his first draft chance of being drafted. You were a big fan of the pick when they made the pick, and then you're a big fan when you saw him during the year. What is going to be his biggest challenge as he makes the jump to probably playing with the Marlies this season?
I mean, obviously, the thing with him was he was a 96, and as we know, last year was a 90-98 draft year, so he was an overager. And just the fact that, you know, he was a 21-year-old playing against, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, in the WHL, and obviously he tore that league up. I mean, he had about 150 points in regular season and playoffs, so just the big rise in competition going to the AHL level. But, you know, we saw it with a guy like Connor Brown, who people, you know, looked at him and said, oh, it's just because he's older than everyone and all that, but hopefully he can shine through and become the player that he was for Regina.
The one thing I liked about Brooks, I mean, in keeping track of him ever since the Leafs drafted him, was not the regular season performances, but in the playoffs. In 2000, when he got 2015-16, which was his draft year, He had 23 points in 12 games. And then the following year, I know he was dealing with injuries, and that kind of cut his season a little short, and he kind of missed the playoff action. He had 18 points in 17 games. So I guess seeing that he can take his game to the next level when it's supposed to get tougher, it makes it a nice little look for him. But the Leafs' lack of depth at center when it comes to the prospects, they did add a couple in the last few drafts, but it's still not anything significant. What do you think will be this team's challenge in trying to add centers? What do you think they can do to try to shore that up, especially with the Marlies, because they're not going to have many centers going into next season?
Well, I think the challenge for sure is the fact that teams that do have center prospects aren't going to be willing to want to deal them, just because of the fact that the center position is such a cherished and looked for spot on a team. What they probably will do is either one, continue to draft or try to get young centers out of a trade. I think that's the only thing they can do. Or, they can do what they did last year. Find some type of a hidden gem who got passed on by teams or something. Invite them to camp, see what they can do, and after then throw them to the Marlies again. So I think it's just finding what's out there, seeing what you can add on, and then hopefully that can work out for you. But yeah, it's definitely hard to find in terms of positions around the league.
When we look at the Leafs depth chart, they're missing a fourth line center. We're gonna kind of talk into some potential targets. But Mike Babcock brought up a name. It was when he was in Vegas, Miro Altonen. He played at the World Championship. He didn't play center a lot for Finland. I don't even think he played center for Finland.
No.
Do you realistically see him playing center in the NHL when he comes with the Leafs? Do you see that happening, Jake?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't really get a chance to watch his game much. I mean, he played for kind of a nondescript team in the KHL, but... it's definitely possible. I mean, I saw that he played all the games for Finland, and he wasn't really effective. I don't think he even had a point. He was a minus eight in the entire
game. I don't even think Finland was an effective team in the World Championship. So,
But you never know. He'd probably know a little better than us. But he doesn't look to me like a guy that would be prepared to contribute at the NHL level.
I found that weird because Babcock did say Altonen, Borgman, Rosen are going to give a tough, really good look for the NHL, and I find that really strange. But when it comes to the other problem, too, with the Marlies' center depth is that Gauthier will be out until, October?
Even longer
than that. Because, I mean, the guy's a big frame. Those guys, when it comes to, his skating wasn't great. Now that he's got a bad knee injury, it's just going to take a toll on it. Are we worried about Frédéric Gauthier going with a big injury like this? I mean, he's had a really long development. They've made some strides after what people thought could have been a lost draft pick with him. Do you think this alters the Leafs' plans and maybe he's not a huge part of it going forward?
Well, one thing, I think Gauthier's injury was a huge, huge knock for the Leafs. I honestly think that next season that would be the fourth line center if, for example, if they wanted to sign Brian Boyle but couldn't. I honestly think that would have been your fourth line center right there. And what you said, his skating wasn't always the greatest. It did improve compared to how he was, when he first got drafted and also his first season with the Marlies. And the fact that it is his knee and this off season you probably expect him to be working on his skating and he won't be able to skate until October or November. I think that definitely is a knock. As to whether the Leafs are going to give up on him, I don't think so. I think what they're probably going to do is give him his time to heal, and then hopefully he goes back to the Marlies, and then maybe if they're not really confident or sure in the fourth line center that they will have an opening roster, then maybe revisit him some way in the season.
All right, we're going to move on from the fourth line center and center depth because I don't even think we can talk about it that much. The Leafs have been they've been rumored on almost every single defenseman that's available through trades, whether it was Miller with the Vegas Golden Knights, Dumbo with Minnesota. Like, there's a lot. We're going to get through some of those targets there. But one name that actually some people talked about was Travis Hamonic. So Hamonic was traded to Calgary for a first and 2 second-round picks. A bit of a steep price to some people, but the Leafs reportedly offered, JVR and a first. Comparing the two deals, which would have been the better deal if you were the Islanders? The Leafs offer or the Flames offer?
I mean, obviously, it's got to be the Leafs offer because you're getting somebody who can come in and play with John Tavares, which is what they're looking for and what they need because he has the ability to leave after next season. So, I mean, obviously it was, but, you know, an interesting thing that Dave Poulin brought up was that, you know, one of the sticking points was they really didn't want him to go to Toronto because that's a team that the Islanders are going to be competing against. I mean, he brought up that last season the Flames had a better deal than the Leafs for Freddie Anderson, and we ended up getting Freddie Anderson. And it's because they play in the same division, they're competing for the playoffs, and you don't want to give an upgrade to a team that you're competing with. So I guess that made sense, but, you know, it's kind of unfortunate because I thought that would have been a really nice add to the Leafs D.
They said that the reason why the deal fell through was because JBR nixed it, that he didn't want to do it. Do you think it was because he didn't want to sign an extension with the Islanders, or he just didn't want to go there, plain and simple?
I think it's got to be the extension. Yeah. I mean, he's waited this long. I would, you know, try and test my worth, unless they're blowing it out of the water with, like, a six-year deal for, like, $6 million. I mean, he's from the New York area. He's from, you know, Middletown, New Jersey, so it's just down the road from New York City, probably about an hour, but you know, that seemed like a logical spot. Honestly, I thought if he does make it a UFA, a team would be like the New Jersey Devils or something like that, that would be able to offer him a lot of money, and it's close to where he lives. But I think, you know, he likes it here, and I wouldn't try and leave because he's got the perfect setup with, you know, playing with Marner, who can feed him some easy tap-ins and stuff like that. And if he heads in the offseason with back-to-back 60-point seasons, then he could get, you know, probably 6 times 6. So
if you're the Leafs, it was obvious they were trying to move him because they realized they needed a defenseman. JVR is probably one of their top trading options, like trade assets. What do you do going forward with them? Do we try to re-sign him at a lower cap hit, or do we try to figure out a way that we can make a trade work? Because there's not many people that can there's not many options when it comes to, like, he's either going to leave on his own or the Leafs have to trade him, because I don't think the value they can get him to re-sign, because there's not many. We're going to talk about this with the cap situation, but I just don't see the Leafs being a team that can afford to keep JVR and then pay everybody else. So obviously we're going to try to move him.
Yeah, I think when you look at JVR, there's a couple of things you have to take into consideration. One, what is he looking for? And to Jake's point, you know, like he's had a couple 60-point seasons now. You know, these first round pick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And obviously every NHL player at some point, like, kind of wants to test the free agency and see what their worth is and see if they can, you know, make that big paycheck. So that's one. Two is, you know, whether he wants to stay and wants to be part of the bigger picture. And if that is the case, then they'll have to accept the fact that he's not like the top guy on the team. It's Matthews, it's Marner, it's Nylander. So in terms of what he wants contract wise, he's not gonna be making the same as what he'd make on the open market. And then third of all, which goes to the Leafs organization, is to what you said, Dave. Like, if they want to acquire a top four defenseman, JVR is probably what's gonna get you that. And, you know, we saw that with, you know, with this potential Hamonic trade going on, JVR would be the option. I feel like if there were any other trade going on, be it Dumba or whoever else around the league is looking to deal for a defenseman, I feel that JVR would probably be the big piece in that deal. So I think those things are what the Leafs and JVR himself are going to have to consider. But honestly, I don't want to say I'd be surprised if he was here past next season or the season afterwards. Sorry, but I think it would take a lot of things to have to fit in properly for him to be a Leaf in the foreseeable future.
Jake, when we look at Van Riemsdyk, an obvious comparable I see in terms of situation is TJ Oshie.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, they're kind of similar in that they had similar stats. I think they both had 30 goals, around 60 points. And, yeah, seeing him get 8 years on the open market has got to be a good sight. But for the Leafs, I mean, you also got to look at the money he got, because he got a pretty modest deal for a guy who's about to hit UFA, and I think he only got about 5.1 or something
5.75.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he probably would have gotten about $6 or $7 million on the open market, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's a pretty good number moving forward, especially based on, you know, the cap number and moving forward. But, you know, yeah, I think what they realize right now is that they probably can't keep him, so they're always going to try and move out someone instead of losing them for nothing. I mean, unfortunately, the only time that they haven't done that was with P.A. Parenteau, and obviously there was nothing being offered. But, I mean, for me, you got to look at what's going on in the West, and right now it's an arms race. I mean, you got teams loading up, like Calgary going out and getting Hamonic to have their 4D, Nashville trying to get Matt Duchene, Anaheim trying to keep their young core intact by giving away guys. Chicago shaping it up. The Blues just added Braden Schenn. St. Louis and San Jose are in on guys like Kovalchuk. I mean, it's fascinating to see that all these teams are trying to load up for playoff runs, and it's becoming a sort of an arms race to try and become not like a super team, but a team that's capable of taking out the Penguins.
Okay. What's the one thing everybody's talking about with this UFA class? It's terrible.
It's weak.
I'm just looking at the UFA market for one JVR, which is next season. The top cap hit, because that's how cap friendly sorts it out, is Rick Nash. I think we're pretty much on the same ball that JVR would make more than Rick Nash.
It's actually a pretty good class next year.
Mm-hmm. Let's go through the class. We got Rick Nash, Paul Stastny, the Sedin brothers, Mikko Koivu, Carey Price, God knows what's going to happen with that.
John Tavares.
Tavares, Mike Green. I'm going to leave off a couple of names, because like Thomas Plekanec, I don't think he's going to draw that much interest unless he lights it up. Joffrey Lupul will be gone. Evander Kane is up. Valtteri Filppula, who's kind of on. James Neal will need new deals, so he'll be another guy that will get a lot of attention. Man, Ryan Clough's contract is up this year.
I didn't even know he was alive.
So,
is he still the Devils?
Yep, still with the Devils. Gosh. He's working for the Devils now, isn't he?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he is. You got Halak, Jack Johnson. JVR is, because of his cap, it's lower. Patrick Hornqvist is up. Mark Edward Vlasic will most likely get re-signed by San Jose. Then you got Craig Anderson, Tyler Bozak. I think Bozak is kind of in a similar situation where unless he takes less money, he's going to be gone. And we go down the list. It's actually, once you get down that list, like it does get a bit weaker. So I would think if you're looking at wingers.
Cam Fowler, too.
Cam Fowler, but he's going to likely re-sign because.
And John Carlson. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody says these guys could re-sign. You never know.
I think like Fowler, like Anaheim has moved around so much.
Kyle Turris, another guy.
Kyle Turris. Yeah,
it's a pretty good amount of names. Cam Atkinson.
Well, it's comparing it to this year. This is like a stud class compared to what we got. Yeah. What
Martin
they have
Jones
to offer
with the Sharks. Michael Backlund, who was up for the Selkie.
So, the next year's class is pretty decent. But I would think when you're looking at targets for teams, JVR might be that number one that will have probably the most interest. I think just because he's been pretty consistent, he's put up points. He can be a top line guy. Another guy, and I was looking at this yesterday because when I was trying to figure out all these rumors with the Leafs, Tyler Bozak, he's been a trooper for the Leafs. He's been dragged through the dirt with the way some of the comments about him not being a number one star, which was true, really his fault.
It wasn't.
It's just like, no, they didn't really have anybody else, so they just put him there. Do you see a similar situation with Bozak where you either trade him or he walks?
No, I think he stays.
I think you think he stays?
Yeah, I think I think the not to knock on Bozak. I think the desire and intrigue is completely different when you look at JVR and Bozak. I think Bozak would be a lot more likely to take that deal or to take a lower cap hit deal to stay on the team just because, you know, like He's been on the Leafs since what, like 2009, 2008. Right. And you know, like
ever since Phil was here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's been there through the long haul, and he's, you know, he's playing where he's supposed to be now. Like he's that third line or second line. I don't know how you want to deem it, because Marner kind of complicates things. So I don't know.
It's the third line technically in terms of.
So yeah, so I think Bozak is, if I'm betting money on it, I'd bet more on Bozak staying than JVR, just because I think that the Leafs are going to use JVR to acquire a big piece that they can use for the future.
Okay, we'll get back to Bozak when we get through the cap stuff. Let's talk about some of these targets. We came up with some names. Do we want to start with forwards or defensemen? I think defensemen might be the best option, considering that's one that needs the most. Okay.
Yep.
I have three names here, like three single names that we talked about before we recorded. Number one was Matt Dumba. That was the one that everybody in the room wanted. We wanted him even when the expansion draft was going on. We thought Vegas would take him and then trade him for something else. I still think that would have been a better option than what they did.
Yeah, but they, just by looking at it, on how many defensemen they have, so
yeah,
I trust that they know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, George McPhee's been doing pretty well, especially with his draft. What type of when you look at Dumba, what is he for this? What would he be for this Leafs team?
Probably top pair guy.
Yeah. Top pair guy. Okay,
sure.
So the thing about him is he needs a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you have to trade for him, you also have to re-sign him.
Yeah, that's why I think it would be cheaper than what people think.
So what would a cost be for Matt Dumba if you're Minnesota, who says that they haven't really heard much out of them, but it looks like they should be moving a defenseman because they got other holes to fill, and that's a team that can't afford to go into next season and have.
I don't even think they have that much cap space. I believe they have about $9 million to sign two big restricted free agents, among other guys like Nino Niederreiter and Mikael Granlund. And Granlund just put up, I think, about 70 points, so he's probably going to get, unless they bridge him, he should get about $6 or $7 million.
Well, obviously, we talked about Koivu being a free agent UFA next season. So the two RFAs, Niederreiter and Granlund were the two RFAs. Niederreiter's name has been out on the trade block as well, just because they have so much involved. It's like their defense, that's where they put. I think they have five defensemen signed at $23 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got Suter, Spurgeon, Brodin, Scandella, Dumba. Dumba, is signed for this season. He would need a contract next season. So it was my fault on that one, but he's going to need a new deal regardless. That's something you have to, a team that's going to acquire him has to consider. This season he's signed for $2.55 million because he got a bridge deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we are all against, and we're going to get.
Well, we're against it for superstars, but I think for middling players, it's okay.
Yeah.
Is he a middling? You find him as a middling player, Dumba?
I mean, he just hadn't proven a lot, so it was kind of like a prove it deal for both.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of identified what he was because he hadn't played that much, and obviously he put up like 35 points and had like 11 goals. He's not a superstar. He's a good player. Well, but he's not a superstar.
And you know why he's not a superstar on that team? Because they have so many guys above him.
Yeah, and they have tons of guys in their system that are coming up. Guys like Mike Riley, who was the highly touted UFA free agent from Columbus. He played in he's an NHL defenseman. He's been playing in Iowa for a while. They just re-signed Olofsson. And, you know, why else would they re-sign a guy if they don't think he's going to be an NHL player? So, outside of that, they're currently five deep anyway.
So what would if the Leafs are making an offer for Dumba, where is it starting? what would be your offer to start with?
In terms of, like, to trade for him?
To trade for him. Well, that's because the contract wouldn't be relevant right now. It would be relevant mm-hmm. next season. If you traded for Dumba, what would that cost you? Or what should it cost you?
I don't know. You look at Minnesota right now. They have a lot of good forwards, but they don't have many elite guys. I mean, they're really deep, as you saw with who they lost and who was protected and unprotected in the expansion draft. You know, they got Charlie Coyle, Zucker, and, you know, Granlund, Niederreiter, Parisi's still there and is a good player. Eric Staal had a great year. And they got young kids coming up, you know, Eriksson Ek, you know, all those five prospects that they had in the World Juniors, Kaprizov, Kirill Kaprizov, Luke Cunning. I mean, they're a really deep team up front. But for me, I think it's got to be cap space. I'm wondering if the Leafs would go out and with the excess cap space they have now, they would try and do a trade revolving around Dumba. But you also have to take back, you know, Pominville's contract because he's, you know, he's not a great player, but he's making, I think, 5.6 over the next couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm. 5.6 over the next 2 years.
You know, it's been bandied that they've been trying to get out of that contract. And, you know, maybe you use the next 2 years of cap space that we have before we have to sign all those young players. And
how many more years does Pominville have?
Two more. Now, but this is the thing with Pominville. He has a modified no trade and he has a no movement clause.
Yeah.
So that's
it's not like we're Arizona though.
Yeah.
Like
That is true. I mean, will he? We've seen guys not want to waive their no trade to come
especially,
to Toronto,
especially
to Toronto, because what ends up happening to them?
Thing. I keep forgetting about that.
I mean, he's 34. He's making 5.6 over the next 2 years. Look, if you're not good enough, and you're making enough money that shouldn't be. Although he did, was it Pominville that had the financial issues?
No. It was Vanek.
It was Vanek? Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy with the gambling.
I always get those two confused for some reason.
He was on the Wild, but they somehow, I think they bought him
out. They bought him out, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I mean, Eriksson, Eriksson Ek is on there for two more seasons before he's an RFA. Jason Zucker needs a new deal next season.
Yep.
They luckily have...
Coyle's probably going to need a new deal.
Needs a new deal. Actually, he signed for the next three seasons.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Koivu is the one that needs a deal next season.
Yeah.
Dubnyk is actually signed for the next four seasons.
Yeah.
They got him at a good cap hit there. They have Alex Stalock as the backup next season. Good luck with that one.
Ex-Leaf for about 7 days or something like that.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I think that was what Minnesota was maybe hoping to do. I mean, we talked about Brodin was the guy that they were thinking about trading. He makes about $4.2 million. So he was a guy they were also looking to move, and he was, you know, a 23-year-old defenseman. I mean, you're only moving a guy like that if you're A, you got a guy to replace him, and B, if you need to move some money. So I do agree that I think Minnesota needs to move some contracts.
And they have some better lefties above him, guys like Marco Scandella and Ryan Suter.
Yeah, so Minnesota is an interesting one. I think there's a lot of teams that think that they can get more for a guy, and they're just holding on. We're going to get to one of those teams in a second in Colorado. When we talk about a certain player that has been linked to the Leafs, I'm not going to name names just yet. We'll do a little tease on that one. But, okay, this was another guy we talked about. Michael Stone. He's a UFA. He was traded from Arizona to Calgary because Calgary thought they were going to be a team that could compete in the playoffs, which I don't think that really worked out the way they expected
it
to.
It's not their fault they ran into Anaheim.
Who they haven't beaten in Anaheim since I was like one.
Exactly. So this is an interesting one because Stone, we don't project him to be a high level defenseman.
He's a five.
He's a five.
4 or 5.
Yeah. He's a 4 or 5. So he is a UFA. So he's going to have, and because he's a UFA, because he's a right-handed shot, he's likely going to get overpaid by a team. His cap hit. This so His most recent cap hit was 1.15.
He's going to get probably...
It was 1.15, then he got $4 million.
Okay. Yeah,
he signed a one-year $4 million contract with Arizona. Didn't really get...
He's probably going to look at, like, five times five.
Five times five.
Something like that.
Yeah. So we're going to give a big nay on that one, you think?
Yeah, you don't, you're not going to give a five. Like, for example, if you bring in Stone, like what, would you put him in the top four?
No.
I would.
You would?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're paying him that much, you're putting him in the top four.
But then he's making the same amount of money as Riley.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But Riley was signed to a pretty decent contract. He didn't have much leverage.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think when it comes to Leafs defensemen, I don't know if they're actually like doing this, but I think they may have like an imaginary bar set at what Riley's making. You know what I mean? So, like, I think, for example,
unless you're
if
a better
they're
player.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you're a better player. So, like, say for example, if we were able to trade for Dumba, who's an RFA, and then sign him, what would you give him?
Probably around the same deal.
Around the same as my. And you know what? You'd be comfortable doing that.
Yeah, for sure. So like, yeah. So I think for a player like Michael Stone, if he wants $5 million, then you know, peace.
Yeah. So we're gonna kind of say no, not because of. I just think it's because of demand for a guy like him. So this is another guy who is not a UFA. He was linked to the – well, I wouldn't say he was linked to the Leafs, but he is a right-handed shot defenseman because that's what the Leafs need. Jason Demers. So he recently signed with Florida he has a cap hit of $5.4 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
So around that level
– So, obviously, it helps that he's already signed, so you already know what the contract's going to be for him. He did put up his second best, I guess you could say second best career numbers in points with 28. I mean, Demers is an interesting one. A lot of people, I think, look at him because of, you know, they look at the whole advanced stats, the fact that he's not, you know, he's a pretty decent player when it comes to shot suppression. This is a new big thing now.
Your hero charts.
Florida, though, had a pretty down year. And I wouldn't say they're in shambles, but they're an organization that needs to retool a little bit.
I mean, you just heard what Pierre LeBrun was saying, that they wanted to cut costs by about $10 million because they were a cap team. And, you know, they're obviously not big in that market, but... he said they were trying to cut $10 million. That's why they packaged a guy, really valuable player in Marchessault, who's making nothing with Riley Smith, just to protect the rest of their team. So, I mean, I think that saved them about $5 million getting Riley Smith off the cap. But
yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the guy scored 30 goals. You lost two guys that scored you 30 goals. So when you look at the salary structure of Florida, they're paying Ekblad $7.5 million. Deservedly so.
Yeah.
Yandel is making $6.35 million.
Yeah, that's a bad number.
And Demers,
he has a no move on.
So Demers' salary, because you know when you look at Florida, salary means quite a bit for them. He's making $5.4 million in salary, but his cap hit is $4.5 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty manageable cap hit if you're like a team like the Leafs. He signed for the next 4 years, so. If you're the Leafs, what's your interest? Is it a mild interest?
I'd be mild because, you know, he's, you know, 29 and he'll be 30 going into next season probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the cost. If it's nothing and they're just trying to cut salary, I'd be all for it. But, I mean, it really ends up being what is it going to cost me? Because if it's a high price, I wouldn't.
Now, Florida, what's their obvious... What's their obvious need? Their obvious need, I think, is
goal scoring.
Mm-hmm. They just traded away goal scoring.
They just
traded
their goal scorer.
I mean, Huberdeau is finally going to be healthy, hopefully, this season. He's finally going to be healthy. Barkov, you're hoping, is going to be a bit better this season. Vincent Trocheck is a pretty decent player. Nick Bjugstad, he's an okay. I mean, he's pretty decent, and then they don't have a lot of guys signed. Like, they're forwards. They have Vanek, that's going to be a free agent. Yager is going to be a free agent. And then you got on defense, you got Kindle, who's going to be UFA, who's probably going to be gone. You got two RFAs and Petrovic and Pisic. So they don't have a lot to go with here. And I think their prospects are not – I mean, you don't really hear about Panthers prospects.
No, they got some nice guys, but it's because they're in Florida. You don't really hear much about
it. Yeah, so if you're the Leafs and you want to get a guy like Demers, can you try to – you know, tell them we'll take this contract off your hands. We'll give you something half decent, but we're not going to overpay for a guy like him. What would be the offer? Would you do just a draft pick,
or maybe like a lesser prospect, like a guy like a Janssen or something like that?
Yeah,
who could help them on the wings because you know
they're set down the middle.
Yeah, I mean outside of guys like Jace Howerluck and obviously Owen Tippett they just took and Jared McCann, they're not really that deep on forward prospects.
Yeah, so that's a guy that we can kind of keep our eyes on. I don't know how willing Florida is to move a guy like him, but he's a guy to look at. I mean, look, when you're looking at defense, you're not always going to be looking at the most sexy names. I'm going to use that word because I think that's kind of what people are thinking the Leafs are going to try to get, but realistically it's not there.
No.
So I think if they just got to go with safe guys that don't do too much, you just know what they're gonna give you every night. I think Demers is a guy like that could work for them.
Yeah.
We're going to get into a little fun now because the defense is not much there. But all of a sudden, everything just gets all crazy when you mention forwards, especially three names because they're Canadian guys. One of them is from Ontario. Two are from Ontario. These are the forwards guys where we got Matt Duchene, Joe Thornton, and Patrick Marleau. I don't know where the Matt Duchene rumor started.
I think it was Pierre Maguire.
Pierre Maguire started it. I mean, you got to love Pierre's enthusiasm. Are we actually realistically thinking that the Leafs are interested in getting Matt Duchene?
No.
I would doubt it. I don't know, though.
That's the one. Is it because the Leafs don't have many centers? And that's – or just – like, I don't get where the rumor started. I mean, to add a guy like Duchene would be great.
Mm. He would be a great replacement for a guy like a Bozak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's really good on face-offs. I'm pretty sure he was the second-best face-off guy in the league last year.
I mean, when he played for Mike Babcock in the Olympics
– and he likes him.
He likes him. And he liked him in his defensive role.
Yeah.
Not – offensively, and he's an offensively talented guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it wouldn't like when you hear that. I would like for the Leafs to go and take a swing at him, but is this something that when you look at what the Leafs needs, it doesn't make sense? Obviously,
yeah.
But the cost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because like even dating back to the trade deadline, like what was like when Duchene was linked to Montreal, like Zach Iguane and Sergachev. And, like, they're so – it seems like whatever deal they want in trading Duchene, they want, like, the team's top defensive prospect.
Okay, so
– so
the we brought up the Avalanche and how they're one of the teams that seems unwilling to make a trade when they're supposed to be making a trade. Mm-hmm. Like, when the Leafs traded Kessel, what was the number one reaction?
Didn't get enough,
or did we get enough for him?
Yeah.
Are Leaf fans complaining about what they got for Kessel now?
No. Nope. They got arguably – they pretty much got the goalie out of it, Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, a useful piece in Kapanen. So.
Okay. Yeah. So if you are a Colorado Avalanche fan, you are pleading, I think, you're pleading with Joe Sakic to do something. Get something to stockpile what is probably one of the most bare prospects – cabinet in the NHL.
Easily.
Like, there's a reason why they're looking for a team's top defensive prospect, because they don't have one.
Well, they do now.
Well, they do.
Mikhail Makar is
a good player. Mikhail Makar is a good player. It
but
just took them
2 years away, probably, from them. So.
And they had to be pretty bad. They couldn't even get the guy. They couldn't even get the top pick.
Yeah.
Like, Makar was not even what they were probably wanting
for them,
to get.
I mean, I don't know what he's looking for. He's trying to get two NHLers, like,
why?
This has got a generational defense prospect is up for grabs at number one. I would tank. You know, a team that this bad, they had 40 points.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible.
you have. I know. I found it funny because TSN was talking about. We were watching some videos on, you know, Colorado losing one of their best goaltenders.
Yeah, they lost their best goaltender.
Yeah, they lost their best goaltender, and they were one of the worst teams in the league. I mean, Pickard did play well with Canada. He's a good goalie, but I mean, when you're looking at Colorado, I think the deal from the Islanders was Hamonic and
a
first.
That's a lot. I don't know how that's not something they wanted. Yeah. Like, you want somebody younger? He's 26 years old.
Exactly.
I don't know. I guess they're looking for a 21-year-old.
They're looking
they
for,
just
like,
don't exist.
As Omar was saying, they were looking for a Sergachev. I guarantee Montreal just said, we'll give you Sergachev.
Just Sergachev.
Yeah.
That's probably what they said. They know we need a draft pick, too. I guarantee that's what Colorado. Or they probably asked for Galchenyuk, too,
and
knowing
Drew
Colorado.
Ryan's a better player, so.
Yeah. So I think, Montreal somehow actually made a somewhat smart decision on
that.
They
kind of just have to bite the bullet and just do it because, you know, the end of last season for not only the team but for Duchesne himself, he was terrible. I mean, he's looking for a price like he's a bona fide number one center. The guy had 40 points and was like a minus 35.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he had one goal in his final 30 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, he's only had – okay, the first two seasons he had 81 and 80 games
played. He's a really good
played.
Player. He'll probably – on a good team, he's probably 65, 70 points. Like on Nashville, he's probably getting you 70 points.
So Nashville is obviously the team that's – and I mean, we've heard they've called multiple times.
It makes sense,
and they're trying to get one of the defensemen from
Nashville.
Not. But why didn't you accept Hamonic? They're the same age. You know, all the guys on Nashville are, you know, 25, 26, 27. Hamonic's 26, and you say no to that?
Exactly.
I mean, and they're probably offering their top defense prospect Dante Fabro, who is a really good player on the Canadian World Junior team. He's projected to be, you know, top four defenseman.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's looking for.
And so, like, this is where, as to bring it back to the Leafs, what the heck would the Leafs even offer for Matt Duchesne?
I have no idea.
Because
it would have to be just picks.
It would have to be picks, and even if they ask for a defensive prospect, are you trading a Travis Dermott?
They'll probably ask for Liljegren.
Yeah.
But then, after what Leafs fans, the reaction from that weekend, like, he's probably the most untouchable prospect.
Yeah, that'd be the fastest phone call ever.
So We're basically going to say Matt Duchesne is a no because
for the Leafs, I just don't really see the fit.
Don't
I
see
think
the fit.
He goes out west or the Islanders.
Okay, so we think the Islanders will somehow. I'm thinking it's Nashville.
I think so Same. Too.
Nashville or
because they were saying when David Poile gets a liking for a guy, he usually gets him. I mean, going out and getting Johansson and getting PK Subban, he's made some pretty ballsy trades. So.
Yeah, and I think dark horse teams are like Columbus and Carolina. Those are teams.
Yeah, Carolina that makes a lot of sense. They have a player back there that they could use. Noah Hanifin, maybe. You know,
that's true.
They have
hasn't been that good, but
he has the pedigree of first round.
We talked about it. That team has five defensemen not signed next season.
Yep.
Yeah.
They have to re-sign almost their entire blue line.
Yeah.
So I think I think if you're Carolina and you're looking for a forward, I think they should be offering Hanifin for Duchesne. Okay, bringing it back to the Leafs again because I mean, it's fun talking about the other teams, but this was started, 2 weeks ago by Elliot Friedman?
Yeah.
It kind of blew up. Elliot didn't say the Leafs were interested in these two players. He just suggested it would be a good idea, and then it kind of just took off from there. So Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau.
Yeah.
We know both these guys are established NHL players.
Yeah.
They're both free agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. If San Jose really wanted them back, I honestly think they would have already been signed by now.
Yeah, they kind of I don't know. That's another GM I don't really know with
Doug Wilson.
He kind of plays hardball with his players and I feel like they hate him.
Thornton has come out and said that he hates him.
Yeah.
But I think that was just like a kind of respect thing. Like, he hates him, but he kind of respects
him. Because
he's been there for, I mean, I wrote in my article, they've been there for 10 seasons. Thornton's been there for 10. Marlowe's been there for his entire career.
Yeah.
I mean, Marlowe was once the captain. You took the C from Marlowe. Then Thornton was your captain. Then you took the C from him. The fact that those two players
hilarious.
Are still there, I don't.
The balls to pull that is pretty big.
So they make the Stanley Cup Finals in Pete DeBoer's first season, and then obviously this season it didn't. They lost Edmonton, or pretty much lost to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and Cam Talbot. The Leafs' interest in these two guys, I when I looked at it, it kind of does make sense. More so Marleau than Thornton.
Yeah.
That's what I think, too.
Because Marleau is a left winger. Auston Matthews does not have a capable left winger playing with him right now.
Nope.
Marleau, people look at his age as, you know, he's 38.
He can still skate.
That guy can fly. Yeah. I watched a lot of YouTube clips of him. That guy...
He's probably one of the best skaters I've seen since Bure, probably.
And I mean, his defense, too, on the wing. Like, if you're the Leafs, I know Thornton, they're and LeBron, I think it was LeBron. No, it was Craig Cousins that said both players are kind of trying to work on a deal together to go, which kind of makes sense. Those guys have been almost like tied to the hip for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the Leafs, what are you offering those two guys? Because we know what they want. They don't care really about the money. They care about the term. These older players care about the term. Are you comfortable giving those two players term?
No.
2 years?
2 years,
that's what I suggested was 2 years.
But they probably want, they probably want more than that.
So Thornton wanted three. That was back earlier in the year.
Yeah.
He just had a major knee injury.
Yeah, he had an ACL and MCL thing.
And he played with it.
But
so
he's not really a guy that's ever
a big skater. But still a great defensive player.
He's a really good player.
It's just, I think just the fear of it is just like you see the age, like 35 over. So what does that mean? So God forbid anything happens, at least sign him. There's nothing you can do. Like that full cap hit is on.
You're still paying
on
him.
Right? So I think that's the main thing. And then, so if we're talking about Thornton, like where's Thornton playing if we do sign him?
You're moving Bozak down to the fourth line. If you're keeping Bozak.
I just don't see him coming here.
Yeah.
Suggested was LA.
Yeah,
and
true.
But they have Kopitar. Are you moving Jeff Carter to the wing?
No.
So he would be the third line center there.
They've done that with older guys before, Lecavalier and stuff like that. So.
Well, Lecavalier was a little different, I think. He was just looking to chase one last cup. Thornton wants to play for another couple of years. So, I like Joe. I've always liked Joe Thornton. He's not the guy that put up 125 points back, 10 years ago.
But boy, can he make a pass.
Remember that year? Jonathan Chichu playing, getting 50 points.
So much that they've put up 120 points.
Now, the last time he's put anything, he had 82 points the year before.
Yeah. I think he might have led the league in assists.
He has 63 assists. No, it didn't. I don't think he led the league.
There was one year, though, that he was he was up there. It wasn't that too far ago. Maybe.
So, I've always liked Joe Thornton. We're just kind of saying it's the same thing with Duchesne. The fit is you would have to move somebody out to make it work.
Yeah.
I was saying if you're not sold on keeping Bozak, you move him. But we're kind of also saying Bozak is a guy you would try to keep.
Yeah, didn't he have his career high in points last year?
Yes, he did. So, Patrick Marleau, let's talk about this guy for a second, because somehow he's still able to put up 27 goals.
Yeah.
And he had a rough start to the year.
Yeah.
And then there was this one point where he just went off.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I mean, obviously, we talked about the skating. We talked about the defense. But why does it make so much sense for the Leafs? People are saying they should be going younger, keep with the plan. Is this sticking with the plan to get a guy like Marleau?
Okay, we'll ask you one question. So Matthews has 69 points, right? Mm-hmm. How many assists did he have?
20.
Well, he had 40 goals. So he had 29 assists.
Yeah. Right? Okay, so. Obviously, okay. So if you look at the people playing on his line, Nylander, that's obviously he's staying on the line, and it's been well established that Hyman isn't capable and shouldn't be on that first line anymore.
No,
if you put Marleau on that first line,
maybe he gets 95 points.
Exactly.
Okay,
you have a player with speed, defense, and who can finish.
I can't remember how many times that he had just complete wide open shots and he just muffed it.
Like, so
just passed him a peach and he would just. I mean, the worst was against Pittsburgh in the final game when he just fanned on that shot so bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the likelihood that he leaves San Jose? Because that's a guy that's played
higher than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's played almost 19 years.
Because they're also in kind of no man's land where, you know, that's the worst place to be. And they've always been, you know, really good. And this might be one of the first times that they miss.
They have two big contracts, bigger contracts to sign. Martin Jones needs a new deal. Yeah. And he is going to get, what, at least $6 million a year?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Vlasic, who's arguably the number two defenseman behind Burns, he's getting seven?
Yeah. He got I think he might have gotten eight. I checked that.
Okay. Burns re-signed, but Vlasic hasn't.
Yeah, Vlasic hasn't.
So Vlasic would be a guy that makes, six?
Yeah, if he makes on 4.25 now, so yeah.
He's looking for a raise. So I actually do understand why, I mean, teams are going after Marlowe pretty aggressively. And I think the Leafs should be one of the more aggressive ones.
Yeah.
And I remember people saying with the whole going young, playing the young guys in those slots, they got Brian Boyle last season when they could have just kept Freddie Gauthier at the fourth line center. They want the veteran guys because you need experience when you go in the playoffs. Obviously, you'll get experience when you get there. Some of the young players did get it. But you also need guys that can kind of carry the load too, and Marlowe, I think, is the perfect guy to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just about getting young anymore. It's about getting good, or getting better. Sorry, it's about better grammatically to say. But, so you know, like, yeah, obviously, you know, you want to stay young and stuff like that, and you know, and bring in the young talent and stuff. But if you have someone you can add that can be a key contributor to your team, then why not? Yeah, and you know, like, and Marlowe's not like the typical 37-year-old that we're dealing with. You know, he can play. So,
no, if, I mean, you can't just have young guys on your team. Look at how terrible, you know, Buffalo and the Arizona Coyotes are, and look at what the Coyotes did. They added some older veterans. They added a 31-year-old defenseman in Jamerson, a 27-year-old in Stepan, and a 29-year-old in
Ranta.
Yeah, Ranta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're the Leafs. You're offering Marlowe a contract. What are you offering him?
I'd say $9 million over two years.
$9 million over 2 years?
Yeah.
For sure. It's the term. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the term that they have to take in consideration, just because they at least have that window.
So a $4.5 million average. That's what we're going with. Do you know how much he made this season?
Six, right?
I don't know.
Do you not think a team is going to want to offer him 12 over 2 years?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's a little.
I think the most he would get would be $5 million a year.
Would you be comfortable giving him $5 million over 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For sure. 100%.
So we're big on the Marlowe watch.
Yeah.
That's the guy we're watching from now until July 1st. At this point, I'm kind of sick of the whole July 1st free agency thing. I'm like, I want to kind of enjoy my Canada Day a little bit. I mean, obviously, it happens during the day. But when you're up in the college, you're going to be wanting to check your phone the entire day to see what's going on?
I'll just leave it at the end of my dock, and you know, I'll check every hour or so. I'm not going to be, like refreshing the whole time.
Unfortunately, this is where the insiders kind of get a little crazy.
I don't know. I don't think it's not going to be that huge anyway. Like this whole season, they've blown up like the trade deadline and you know the couple days before the trade freeze and like nothing major went down.
No.
So in terms of Leafs, you're obviously watching Marlowe, and then you're probably going to move on to another position. So
I mean, I think if you're going to add a winger, he's the only one that makes sense for me.
Yeah.
Like the other guy, there's not much else out there when I look at wingers. Especially like older guys that are kind of tiptoeing down. Marlowe's not a guy I see tiptoeing down and losing a step that much. We kind of neglected this position because really the Leafs have kind of neglected this position for many years until this season where they actually had to figure out what they were going to do. The backup goalie. Right now the Leafs don't have one. There are not many good options out there.
Yeah, especially with Mike Condon. Getting signed,
that was
one of my guys.
The NHL, we've seen it now. The NHL if you're a competing team and you don't have a reliable backup goalie, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Chicago just lost their backup in Scott Darling, but they did a good job of replacing that with Forsberg from Columbus.
Yep. Yeah.
Ottawa got Condon back. I mean, and he was huge for Ottawa, and Anderson was out.
He saved their season.
He did. It's unfortunate.
Like 22 games in a row, it was?
Something like that. Yeah. He was really good. That's who I would have gotten. But
yeah.
Yeah.
A guy I would look at is the guy that they got traded to Arizona, Chad Johnson.
Yeah. So
he missed on because we didn't offer him enough money.
Well, you just read my mind. So I have three goalies, three options. Chad Johnson was number one.
Mm-hmm.
Although Chad Johnson may want a role where he's more of like a 1B type of guy.
I just don't see him ever being that.
Well,
where's he going to go?
Well, okay, Arizona may want to keep him.
No.
But he's unlikely to stay. They got Ronta. Is Ronta going to play?
Do they still have Domingue? Is Domingue signed?
Yep. Well, Johnson, I think like a team like Philly could look at Chad Johnson.
Although he's not better.
They need to get better. I would like to go and get Chad Johnson. I'm just looking at his salary. He made 1.7.
Pay that.
You're going to pay that?
Pay him $2 million. I mean, you got a really good goalie, a top 10 goalie for like $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're good on Chad Johnson. I mean, Chad Johnson how many games did he play? He played 36, and he had a .910 save percentage.
That's good.
For a backup?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
With three shutouts, too.
I mean, look, and when he in his last year with Buffalo, and I think he got traded, I think. That was your I was trying to remember that. It wasn't that year. Okay.
No.
There was he did. So there was the year that he was with Buffalo and he got traded to the Islanders, the year they were trying to tank for McDavid, and I think he got traded out.
I don't think so.
No, that was Lindback.
Was it Lindback?
Yeah, that was Lindback, yeah.
Remember that? I'll never forget that.
They traded like four goalies.
They traded because anybody that made a save, they traded out. So, you're looking. He played with the Sabres in 2015-16.
Yeah.
He had a .920 save percentage.
That's
for
really
Buffalo.
Good.
So
that's really good.
So I think I actually like Chad Johnson. He's a good option. Another guy I like too, another Buffalo goalie, because.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a friggin' .923 save percentage for the Buffalo Sabres, you're a decent goalie in my eyes, and that's Anders Nilsson.
Yeah.
So Nilsson is coming off a season where he made $1 million. So, I mean, he had a pretty good season, so he could look for a little more money, but we're pretty comfortable with anything $2 million and under for our backup.
Yeah. $2 million on the high end.
Okay. Because we're not like Dallas, who spends like $15 million on our goaltending.
A little less now, but yeah.
The reason why I like Nilsson is he's 27.
He's huge.
He is. He's 6'6" all the time, as MacBuck would say.
Yeah.
So that works. Yeah, I mean, and he was a former third round pick.
Yeah.
So
I think in terms of backup goalies, he's probably the quote unquote hot commodity because he's the one being shopped around and and meeting with different teams and stuff like that. But I think him and Johnson would be two backup goalies if I'm the Leafs I'm looking into. Say, for example, if you miss out on those two, would you guys be comfortable with re-signing McElhinney?
That was the option I was going to say. Look, McElhinney had a .914 save percentage, which was not bad. I mean, he also was brought into situations that were god near terrible. So that kind of skewed his save percentage a little bit, but I mean, he did when Anderson was out in that Pittsburgh game.
He
was the reason why they won that game.
Honestly.
So I mean, I think the Leafs wouldn't be saying a no to McElhinney. I think he's like a go around option, but I just think it's because not many teams in the league are looking for backup goalies as much as the Leafs are probably that they. I think they could be fine with that. All right, we got to move on to our last little part of the segment. Otherwise, Chris is going to kill me with the time. That's okay. He's not here. He can't say anything. The cap. People are getting and this is where Jake's rant. Yeah. Jake has been waiting very patiently. I'm glad, Jake. Good job. The Leafs have a lot of needs. They have a lot of things they got to get. But everybody is going nuts about the Connor McDavid contract. And Jake has something to say about that.
Reach.
So, yeah. Jake, go right ahead.
No, I mean, one of the things that people are talking about, you know, I saw a lot of people commenting on the story by Elliot, and Elliot was saying that they got a great deal for Connor McDavid, and people are saying, you know, why? How is that a good deal? You know, he's getting paid $13 million. They're not going to be able to afford anybody else around him and all that stuff. And for me, I think it's just a bunch of bullshit. I mean, they have the best player on the planet, a 20-year-old MVP who just put up 100 points and led them by himself pretty much to a playoff outside the fact that they have nobody outside of him and Dreisaitl, mm-hmm. and he led them to the playoffs. And they're mad because they got him for 8 seasons and he's getting paid $13 million. I mean, this deal is so much more than just McDavid's worth. And he's, for me, on the open market, he'd get $15 million easily. And, you know, his true value to that city is unmatched. For me, he's kind of like LeBron James, what is to Cleveland. I mean, he's the reason that building got built. He's the reason that Chiarelli's there. He's the reason that the coach is there. He's the reason the goalie's there.
He's the reason why Gretzky is back in the fold.
He's the reason Lucic took them seriously, even though that's kind of hopeful.
That kind of screwed him.
Kind of. But yeah. I mean, he's made them into a free agent destination, and that's all because of him. I mean, he's a rare player. He's a generational player. He's once in a 25 years type of guy. And, you know, he's worth every penny because he makes everybody around him. You know, people are saying, oh, have fun playing with third liners. He's played with third liners, and he got 130 goals. So, I mean, you know, what's the point? He's like his wingers now are what? Pat Maroon and the college kid Kajula, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's made them into good players, and obviously those guys know that, and they're going to want to take pay cuts to play with a guy like that.
Yep.
And that's huge. Another thing that people aren't looking at is, you know, percentage of the cap. I think he's at, you know, 17%.
Around there.
And they talk about that bullshit Crosby thing. Look at the salary paid to Sidney Crosby, and he's probably getting paid probably $13 million in salary. If he was on the open market, he'd get $14 million. I mean, he signed a back-diving contract, which is illegal now, and they're probably going to get shit for it at the end of it because, you know, there's cap recapture penalties and stuff like that. And, I mean, so that you can't even compare it. And that was when the cap was, I think, $15 million less.
And that's when the limit for contract term was in 8 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was unlimited. And also we're moving ahead where, you know, revenues are higher than ever. I think they just surpassed $4 billion. The U.S. TV deal is going to be redone in 3 seasons. That's probably going to jump from $200 million to about, you know, $750
million. If the U.S. is willing to pay for it, yeah.
They just got it. $500 million in expansion money. They're expanding the game over to China. They just signed a big rights deal with Chinese TV, and they are playing games over in China, so there's going to be more money. They just got the new Adidas deal flowing in. You know, maybe you get a thing where you're putting small ads on the jerseys. You know, you're getting money from that too. So, you know, money's continually flowing in, and it's not something that I would concern myself with right now. Right now you have the best player on the planet, signed up for 8 seasons. He's playing his prime in Edmonton, Alberta. Think about that. I mean, so I don't understand why people are mad about that. And people saying, oh, he's greedy, trying to get the money. Imagine looking at the NBA. The New York Knicks just paid Joakim Noah, who I can shoot better from the free throw line. He's getting $18 million a season. I mean, you got to look outside your sport and think, you know, I'm the best player in my league. How am I getting paid less than an eighth man on an NBA team? So that's got to be annoying. And he's also, you know, the NHLPA got on him about this and said, listen, you're the guy, please make a new level for contracts. You know, the level was broken by, you know, Taves and Kane. They were one of the first guys to get over $10 million, and that's big. And now he set a new standard. If you're a superstar player, you're going to get $10 million. And they're well worth it. You know, I think hockey players are probably some of the most underpaid athletes out there. They play a physical game where your career can end at any play. People forget that. You know, you have guys suffering from concussion issues in the NHL as well. It's not just the NFL. And, you know, people are just taking limits saying, oh, what's the difference between $12 million and $8 million? Well, it's $4 million. I mean, and I'm not a man that counts another guy's money. So if he's worth it and he goes out and gets what his true value is, and he's not getting his true value.
Nope.
He should get $15 million. He should get the max, 20%. But, you know, I think just the fact that he took less than the max is good enough for me.
I will say two things. One, the reason why Oilers fans are really mad, because that team is in cap hell.
They're boned.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
but
that's why
you're paying your award-winning GM.
Exactly.
I know. So yes, apparently top five GM in the league, according to some people.
Yeah, that's why I destroyed a potential dynasty
okay.
in Boston.
So Leon Draisaitl needs to be signed too.
He's getting 10.
He's going to get
9.
Okay.
9.
Now, I saw some things on Twitter. Omar, you pointed this out too, that people are now looking at Tavares.
He's going to get 10.
And
yeah.
But people are like, oh, if McDavid gets 13, he should get 12 or he should get 11. Now people are comparing the McDavid contracts and then saying, yes, that means some players are going to be paying higher. That is the whole point of paying McDavid more. You just said it. I always said people are always a big thing about, you know, hockey being a team game. It's all about the team. It's all about the team. But guess what? Your star players, some place in the States don't take hockey seriously because their star players are not being paid what they should be being paid. You look at the NBA, best example is their star players are not going to give their team breaks because guess where the money is going? If it's not going to the players,
it's going to someone else.
It's going to someone else. It's going to the teams. So, and it's going to the executives of the NHL who are going to have another lockout because of some stupid contracts that could be coming out or no, the players want to go to the Olympics. So the players are going to start rebelling against the NHL for this reason that, A, they're going to want to get the money because they're not getting what they want in going to the Olympics. I mean, World Cup of Hockey will put some money in their pockets, but it's not what they want with the Olympics. So I don't think – I'm totally on board with the McDavid thing. He should be getting paid. And the reason why Leaf fans are getting worried –
for our players.
It's our players. But guess what?
I don't think it has any effect on it.
Not at all.
Exactly. You know what? We look at the Leafs, it's not about one player. And Lou Lamoriello has said this, and Shanahan has said this from the beginning. It is not about the player on the back. It's about the crest on the front. And when you look at Edmonton, unfortunately, it's about the guy on the back. Because that's the way that team is set up. It's McDavid, it's Draisaitl, and it's Talbot.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys that make up that team. You pay those guys what they want, and you got to figure out a way to build around them. They have failed to do that so far because they've had to trade Eberle because that contract is ridiculous. They signed Lucic to ridiculous money. Talbot, when he signs, they're going to have to move somebody else. When they sign Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins is probably the next one gone. So that's what happens when you don't draft properly. And bring in outside of the first round and plug in players that make less money, like the Leafs are doing right now, to get it done. So, Leaf fans, if you're getting worried about this whole McDavid thing, you have probably the best capologist on your staff in Printem that will make sure that this cap does not go to hell because they've already miraculously saved so much money on the cap with the LTIR, moving Phaneuf, moving Kessel's contract,
moving Clarkson.
So if you're worried about the Leafs cap, this is not the Leafs management from, you know, even five years ago. This is a totally new regime. We're going to look at this cap right now.
Okay? I think that contract, the only one it affects would be Matthews because he's a legit number one center. I mean, anybody that thought, oh, he's going to only get 9, now he's going to get 11. No. You know who his agent is? Pat Brisson, CAA Sports. I mean – that's the biggest agency in the world. He's gonna get his player money.
Yep.
Literally. And
he's the guy that signed the Taves deals. He's Crosby's agent. He's got all those guys. He's a Malkin's agent. He's gonna get all of them paid. He's gonna get $10.5 million. And you know what? We haven't had a number one center in 15 years. I'll happily pay him $10.5 million.
Look, when Matt Sundin was here, he was not whatever he was getting paid
was not enough. Yeah.
And there was no salary cap for the majority of the time that Sundin was here.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Leaf fans, if we're complaining about what we're paying our number one center, just stop.
Literally.
Because we've been complaining for how many years we don't have one. So, let's look at this cap because, I mean, the Leafs have a pretty decent situation. Anderson is signed for the next 4 years. Your number one goalie slot is taken care of. Okay, getting $5 million for a number one goalie, a bona fide starter.
That's actually a dream. That's a dream.
Yeah.
Because you look at around the league, Lundqvist makes like 8.5. Price is going to make like 10.
Price is going to get 10. Yeah. And if Montreal fans have a problem with that, look at what Carey Price has done for your team the last few years, okay? So just shut up. We look at contracts that are coming off the books after this season because people are not worried about this season. The Leafs have like, with the LTIR, they have about, we said $18-19 million in cap space. That's without signing the RFAs and the UFAs that they potentially want, but that's fine. You got William Nylander, that's the first big contract. And Omar, you've touched upon this before in your article. Nylander, when you look at Nylander, they're pumping his tires, but they're not pumping his tires to what a Matthews is.
No, so because he's a winger too. So.
He's a winger. So if we're looking at a contract for him, and I think, Jake, you were in about the $7 million.
I said if you throw $50 million, 8 years, $50 million at his face, it's going to be pretty hard to say no.
It's going to be hard.
For a 21-year-old kid.
And his agent will be like, that's dope, sign it.
Eight years, $7.5 million.
Yeah.
I think him and Marner will have the same contract.
Yeah. Like, I think even looking at this at the big three, like, Jake, you were talking about this off air. If you can get those three signed to, like, the range of, like, $25 to $30 million, then you're set.
Exactly.
And there was also, I don't even know, should I bring this up? We had some comments on Omar's Twitter account before we went on to air.
Oh, yes.
People complaining, or not complaining, they're saying that the Leafs have three guys that are making $3 million to the cap. And then what do we just go through with the bonus overages?
$6 million.
$6 million?
NHL record.
Yeah.
NHL.
Broken, I think before it was the
Boston Bruins.
Was it the Bruins?
It was the Bruins.
Yeah, with a Ginla, right?
No, it was Bruins. What year was that? It was I have to look at the year. Somebody had tweeted that out.
The Penguins were on that list, too.
Yeah. So there was that comment about, I think people don't really understand how good the Leafs cap situation is.
Yeah.
Until you actually look. Nathan Horan's contract is non-existent. Like, that counts on the cap, but it gets erased when they get to the level, like, up into where they have to take his cap it off. Loopholes is gone next season.
Mm-hmm.
So after this upcoming season, he's gone. Nazem Kadri would be the highest. Nazem Kadri is the highest paid forward on this team right now that plays.
And people, and just a reminder, people are pissed when he signed that extension.
Now he's a 30
That's making $4.5 million. The Florida Panthers would love to be paying a guy $4.5 million to score 30 goals.
It's like, it's ridiculous.
Okay. They just traded away a guy who scored 30 goals and he was making $700,000. So I don't think people should be complaining about that. JVR is making $4.25 million. I mean, he's the guy that's gonna, I wouldn't even say he's a cap casualty. It's just they just have other guys that are a bigger priority than him, and he's going to want more money, and he's going to have to go get it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's probably where people are getting a little antsy with. Bozak's making 4.2. That likely drops in the next contract because of the role, and he's getting older. Once you get older, your cap hit should be dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Komarov is done after next season, but, I mean, this team loves Komarov. He loves the Leafs. I can't see him wanting to go and make money. He did that when he went back to the KHL. He wants to win. He wants to be a part of this young Leafs core. They think of him as like, you know, fun Uncle Leo. So his cap hit probably goes down. So he's at 2.95. Matt Martin is the one everyone complains about. It's 2.5, but that's for the next three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just got to get over
Nothing you can do.
Nothing you can do. It's not a huge deal in my opinion. $2 million for Eric Fehr. Now, I didn't even think about this. Eric Fehr could probably, he's played center.
Probably could be your
He could probably yeah, be your fourth exactly. line center next
I
season.
I
and played, when I was like, looking at this,
what,
I'm like,
one game and then he injured his hand on the penalty kill.
Yeah, like Babcock wanted to play him.
Yeah.
It was he got injured. Brian Boyle would be a nice addition, but if it costs too much, just let Eric Fehr be the fourth line center.
Yeah, literally. Like, a lot of people are dead set on, like, oh, no, we don't want to have Ben Smith.
Honestly, what would it mean? It would just mean that Matthews, Kadri, and Bozak play more.
Which is fine by me.
So that's I mean, when we look at, and we were talking about the fourth line, I think we even talked about the fourth line a little too much. I don't think that's as much of a problem. So we have Matthews, who's up. I mean, his contract, if you're the Leafs, you're signing that next year.
Yeah.
Based on
yeah.
what we saw with Kadri and Riley, that contract's not going to wait. It's being signed as soon. And same thing with Zaitsev. They want to get those contracts done.
Yeah.
And then we have Nylander. He's the one that needs to get signed next season. We've already discussed that number. Marner is in the same deal as Matthews. So they have two more years before his cap hit eventually goes up. Soshnikov, I mean, he's just...
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about him.
I mean, like, Soshnikov...
Is he even on the team next year?
Look, I mean, he's waiver exempt.
That's true.
Would put him with the Marlies if he's not... I mean, he's the way he plays is susceptible to getting injured more. Mm-hmm. So I think he's either with the Marlies or he's...
Kapanen is better.
Yeah, and Kapanen is better. So. Ben Smith, honestly, he's a guy I'm putting on waivers to go down to the Marlies.
Yep.
He can be a center down there for them. Josh Leivel. Oh, Leivel. He is most likely going to be on the team bottom six role, hopefully.
Either that or he's Corrado 2.0.
Unless he's Corrado 2.0. I don't see them waiving him, so there's that. Mm. Connor Brown is the RFA that I think is their big priority right now to sign. He's not arbitration eligible, so it's not like the Leafs are going to be forced to be paying him.
And our entire podcast is just outdated.
And
Marlowe just resigned.
Oh, wow.
Guess what? As we are recording this, and Austin comes in. He's been very quietly, not making any problems. We go on this huge segment about Patrick Marlowe and Matt Duchene, which we're going to have to probably edit out. So if you see a little edit there. Marlowe and Thorne have just signed for 3 years in this with the San Jose Sharks.
Wow. Is this how Dangle feels?
I think we're editing that out. I don't know. Well, I think we're just going to have to leave it in, guys, because... So we would have really liked... So guess what, guys? The Leafs probably only wanted to offer Marlowe 2, and guess what? He got 3 from San Jose, and that's why he's staying. Wow, we talked about those guys for quite a bit, too.
Well, you know...
Just skip over that when you're listening to the podcast, guys. Okay, so Connor Brown, everybody. What are we giving... What is his term and cap hit the year? I've written about this.
Yep.
I thought 5 years would be...
Yeah.
Like...
Jake had a good number. I think it was it 3?
No,
three
it was
five,
under
3.
I think it was like 2.95.
What
Komarov is making, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're similar players in terms of, I mean, Brown is a bit better, but
yeah.
Brown is, I mean, I didn't go to school with Brown, but I know people who was with Brown. But uh-oh, we got some
the Sharks Twitter.
Okay.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, search up the Sharks Twitter.
Hey, Austin, you want to come on with us now? Guess what, guys? Austin Owens is here with us. I got him on. Don't worry. So,
everyone rejoice.
Everyone rejoice. Okay, so...
Because
Austin is here for our second segment.
Am I on?
You are on.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay, so we got Austin here.
Are you fake news?
Is that fake news?
Oh, my gosh. There's some controversy right now with this whole Marlowe Thornton sighting. Do I have to?
It was the verified Sharks account.
Do I have to fix this for you guys?
Wow! Oh my God! You idiot! Somebody got you!
Oh,
oh no! Oh no! Did we?
It was from 2014.
Oh! Nice. Look at that! Oh, we're keeping that, guys. We're keeping that. So,
cool.
But guess what, Austin? You know what? Austin's not the only one to fall for this.
Yeah.
Who was
another...
it? Who was it that everybody was tweeting out? They were tweeting. So what people do?
It was the.
This is the new trend in social media where you take an old contract that was announced on Twitter.
Yeah, it was.
You retweet it now because people don't read the timestamp. When was the time?
So
yeah,
funny.
Like me.
So who was? who was the other guy?
It was the entire expansion draft. They were.
Yeah,
like,
that's
they
what
were
it was.
Flying the entire week.
Okay, so It's okay, Austin. It's happened to people before.
I'm a little upset, not gonna lie.
Austin will be leading the whole. Everyone's just gonna sit back when Austin talks about the draft because we're just gonna make him do all the work. Okay, so Connor Brown.
It's been fun, boys.
What? So going back to the whole Connor Brown thing.
Connor Brown.
People that I know that went to school with Connor Brown have told me there's no other team he would go to than Toronto. If he could play his whole life in Toronto, he will.
Which makes sense.
I think you have to take advantage of that.
Yeah. You take advantage.
For sure.
That's the guys that take pay cuts.
Look, yeah. This is a guy who's lived in Toronto.
Etobicoke.
Okay, he lives, I think, like 15 minutes from me, too.
His parents come to the games all the time.
So, look, you tell Connor, we'll get your parents tickets to the games.
We'll give you $15 million over 5 years. How would he say no to that?
Yeah. How?
I don't know, in Toronto. People see, I think what he did this year, you know, get you 20, 25 goals and 40, 45 points.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's going to be.
That's all he's going to be.
I don't think he's going to be.
Maybe 25 is like the ceiling.
I just don't see him ever hitting 30 goals.
No, he would never. No. And it's not because he's not capable. Like, it's because he's never going to be in a position where he's going to be playing a lot of power play time, playing with Matthews. Because that's where his point totals went up was when he was playing with Matthews.
He's a versatile winger. You know, he can play up and down your lineup. But at the end of the day, just like Jake was saying, he's not like. You know, he's not like a game breaker or anything. He's a decent player who can play in your lineup. So, you know,
he's useful. He can move up and down your lineup too. Those versatile guys that won't look at a place playing on the fourth line or the first line are really useful.
And then Zach Hyman is the next guy.
1.5
to 1.9. Yeah. Like, look, Zach Cassian got $1.9 million.
That's what I'd look at. I like Cassian better.
The Cassian,
because he hits.
He hits.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored. How many goals did he score this year, Cassian?
He had double digits, I think.
So,
and
I mean,
a couple big goals in the playoffs too.
Cassian is a decent choice. I mean, that's probably the only contract that Edmonton's kind of gone right with $1.9 million there. That Chiarelli has signed. I should say.
97 signed a pretty good contract.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't been official yet. So don't worry. All right. So let's move down. Morgan Riley makes $5 million.
Mm-hmm. Gold.
That's gold, and he's doing it for the next 5 seasons.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Zaitsev, this is the one people complained about, and I still don't understand why. He makes 4.5 for the next seven seasons.
Yeah.
It's something that is really dealable.
Exactly. He's 25 years old.
Yeah, like that's a really good point because even if knock on wood, even if something does go wrong, it's immovable. Contract, you know what I mean?
$4.5 million isn't that onerous?
Yeah.
So Jake Gardner is the only one that's getting anywhere close.
Underpaid.
Okay, he's getting 4.05, and he's up. He has two more seasons before he comes to UFA. Mm-hmm. I don't see him getting paid more than Riley.
In 2 seasons?
I think he is.
I think he gets six.
That's
guys that can skate like him. Well, there aren't many.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're saying if he gets six. What are you giving him, 6 over 5 years?
I don't even know if I would re-sign him by then.
And that was the point I was going to bring up. Mm. Do we even re-sign him? Because, look, you're going to have Dermott.
Lilligren.
You're going to have...
Maybe Borgman better. Or Rosen.
Borgman, Rosen.
Do something.
This team has so many left-handed shot defensemen that you can plug some of those guys in. I mean, I said Andrew Nielsen before. If he gets more seasoning with the Marlies, he can be your third pairing guy. You move Dermott to your second, and Raleigh's your first.
Yeah.
And that's where I go with that. And so there's that. And then you got, I can't believe I have to say these names. You have Alexei Marchenko
at
1.45. He's an RFA after next season.
Gone.
He's going to not get it.
I'd wave him.
He's probably going to get,
yeah.
I can't even say this
just
name.
Say the number, please. Just say the number, please.
Number 52?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Player 52?
Yeah.
Yeah, him.
He had some great passes to the Caps.
Yeah. I think we should trade him to the Caps for a sixth rounder.
They owe us more than that for those two wins that he handed them.
Yeah. And then we got Connor Carrick, who's at $750,000.
He's a seventh defenseman, I mean.
Well, I mean, at $750,000, I'm not going to complain about him.
No, you know? But so. I would never pay him anything higher than that.
So that's, I mean, the Leafs are going to be paying those guys lower so that the star players could be making. This is the point I'm trying to make. Your stars can make whatever they need to make because you got guys who are making
$1 million.
$1 million, yeah.
Or less, yeah. Or some less, and some guys that are going to get sweetheart contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about your layering of your team. If you have guys that fit into your own salary cap structure, I mean, you also have to have some steals of contracts, too. I mean, you know, look at Chicago. If Duncan Keith isn't making $5 million, they're screwed.
Boned.
Yep.
He's worth like $9 million.
Look what they had to do. They realized Panarin is going to be asking for a lot of money.
I like that deal.
Yeah.
And you know what? People were at first saying Chicago got hosed. Saad is signed for longer. They kind of liked his style.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
He scores.
And they got a manageable backup goalie.
Yeah.
Behind
Crawford. But Saad, you know, I like that they're supporting their captain, their $10.5 million player. You know, he is what he is. You know, he's not Crosby. He's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not worth 10.5. He's probably worth 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But, hey, they have a little legacy payment with that. So, hey, I'm sure they're not complaining considering their names on the cup 3 times. So, you know, you got to just live with that. And if I think the only bad contract they have is Seabrook.
Yep.
If they could get out from that, I think they'd really be moving. But I think they got better. I really did. I didn't like that they traded away Jamerson, but they got 2 for 1 there, and they got two pretty good players that I like that.
So then the backup goalie is a guy that's going to be kind of interchanged in and out. We're not worried too much about that. The only thing about the Leafs cap is they had to take the retained salary on Phil Kessel, $1.2 million for the net until 2022.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously wouldn't want that, but with the deal that they made for Phil, Pittsburgh would not have been able to afford to pay him $8 million.
Yeah, and we got rid of Phaneuf and didn't retain anything. So
exactly. So there's
that's
that.
I don't know how they pulled that off.
Tim Gleason's contract will be off the books next season, the 1.33 buyout.
Yay.
Grabowski's buyout doesn't even count on the cap. Man, he's getting bought out. Well, he didn't get bought out by Vegas yet, but like he's being shipped. That guy's... Ever since he left the Leafs, man, Randy Carlyle just ruined that guy's career.
Who is this?
Mikhail Grabowski. And then Jared Cowan, his cap hit is gone. Thank you, Dion Phaneuf, for that one. So
wait, they're not paying Grabowski. I thought he was on.
No, he's not on the cap. But I'm saying, like ever since he left, like Islanders had to pay a first round pick to Vegas to get rid of him.
Yeah, I know.
So, the Leafs are in their situation is like. Teams would love to be in the Leafs situation right now with their cap. So people that are getting all antsy about it, look, you're going to have a guy like Jeremy Brock who's going to be able to come in on his entry level. You're going to have a guy, maybe a guy like Adam Brooks, who can eventually come in on his entry level deal. Dermott's going to have his entry level deal. I'm just looking at prospects in the Marlies here. Borgman, Rosen could be 2 NHL players next season for you and make
$900,000.
Look, Borg, both making the 925. It's just the bonuses that you have to kind of be wary of, but
I don't think they have bonuses in that.
They have an 850, but
I don't think they have the scheduled bonuses.
And then you got a guy like Grundstrom. Like, there's a reason why they're signing guys that are in the more professional leagues because they can come in quicker and be a part of your NHL roster earlier than a guy who's drafted in juniors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to wait for other – like, they don't want to kind of wait. They want to get these guys in when their window is open to compete.
Exactly.
So I like the way they do in doing that. So if anybody is worried about the Leafs cap situation, just stop. It's not a problem, okay? That's all that we have for this. I mean, this segment went a little bit longer than we expected, but that was – I think you could just kind of skip over the whole Joe Thornton – well, we now can say you don't have to skip over the Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau thing. Sorry.
It was fake news.
It was fake news. We can actually – we've had our first instance of fake news. But that is okay.
I think – well, I don't know. You know, it's a very – you know, I don't want to say stressful, but it's a very, you know, intriguing.
There's gonna be fake accounts. There's gonna be all that crap that people are gonna try to be trolls.
Yeah,
I almost got it once with a fake Draeger account.
Yeah, so you know,
so you know,
free agency is coming up, and you know, I think it's fair to say that a lot of, I think it's fair to say that a lot of GMs, you know, blood might boil.
Yeah,
and if it does, maybe it'll make their faces turn brown, and if their if their players decide to leave, oh well. Then they guess off the garden. I don't know. I fit like four Leafs players in there. Did no one catch that?
What?
You're trying to get punny.
Yeah, I got really punny there. Did no one catch that?
No. I didn't.
Sorry.
I'm wondering why you're saying people's faces were getting brown.
I hate you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so this is the end for this segment. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Tip of the Tower. Make sure you follow us on iTunes or SoundCloud. That's where you can find the podcast. You can follow Jake on Twitter at JakeMiddleton12. You can find Omar at OLW93. And then you can find me at D_MorrisSudi. Thank you, guys. And now next, with our next segment, it will be the draft.
Oh, Morgan Riley going wide with the shot.
William Nylander.
The Knights, Mitch Marner.